and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Stu, what's up,
that
buddy?
That was so intense. I loved it. I love the energy. Well, I'm doing just fine, James. It is the Friday before Labor Day weekend. Good luck to everybody getting through their work day. Hopefully you can spend a little time with us to get you through it. Be safe on your travels through Labor Day, but get ready for your drafts. This is the biggest draft weekend of the year, I think. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but it's the biggest draft weekend for me, so I'm going to call it the biggest draft weekend. So we're here to get you in your last-minute preparations. What are the final ADPs going to shake out? What are we thinking here at the very, very end? It is a mock draft episode, and the last mock draft before the season starts. James, I'm psyched. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. I am just fantasy football zen right now. I am locked in. I'm like the beautiful mind. I can see the numbers and the ADPs and the positions and everything just locking into place. Like I can see the matrix, and it's ready. It's time. Indy the dog is here with us in the basement causing a ruckus, and we're gonna have a good mock, and we're gonna have a good weekend of drafting, and that is why we as a species exist. Fantasy football, probably the meaning of life.
It's the
you heard it here first. It's yeah. So anyway, Stu, what are you drinking tonight?
We're doing it at the beginning. What happened to Lost
yeah.
Call?
First call.
Oh gosh. Again, don't drink too much during your actual drafts, but drink as much as you want through your mocks. One thing I wanted to highlight, because of course I'm not really on the beer wagon right now, one thing I wanted to talk about was from a new brewery that I was just kind of putzing around on the internet, and I found some cool looking art, some cool looking names. This is from Back Pocket Brewing. They have a series over there in Iowa called the Raygun series. So they collaborated with another company called Raygun to create shirts and beers that are cat related. And you have a dog. I have a cat. I've never talked about her on the show because even though she is always with me, like I can turn my head slightly to the left and see her right now. She's very quiet in a way that Indy is not.
Indy is not quiet.
Her name is Pixel. She is an all black cat. Well, she's technically tuxedo, but she's barely tuxedo, mostly black, and she came to us from a horse barn. She got into a fight with, I think, a coyote, was injured, and when my sister nursed her back to health, she couldn't keep her, and now Joelle, my wife, and I have her. She's great. She's terrible at the same time. She's really annoying at 5 a.m. in the morning, so she inspires me to talk about a cat-themed line of beers right now. So we have about four or five that you can try over there at Back Pocket Brewing with the Pucker Upright Meow Volume 2, a pastry shower. Sour. Oh, God. Say that five times fast.
This is getting tough.
The Strawberry Shortcat, a dessert sour. The Pancake Meowntain, a dessert sour. And the Kitty Lime Pie, which is a dessert ghost. Never.
I'm just sitting here laughing over your description of the pasty shower.
The pasty shower. That's just me every morning before work. Anyway, James, what are you drinking tonight? Throw me off like that at the beginning of the recording.
So, I thought since this is our last episode before we get into the regular season, I thought it would be appropriate to bring something. Not a last, but rather a first. And I am bringing not really a craft beer. I guess it kind of is. It literally isn't. But I'm bringing one of the oldest beers in the world to you today. I'm bringing all the way from, I believe, Munich, Bavaria. Almost said Bavaria, which I don't think is a real place. Coming from Bavaria, Germany, is the Weihenstephaner Vitus Weissenbach. So, a little bit of a Anglicization to that. This Weihenstephaner Vitus is named after a Saint Vitus, as many of the Weihenstephaner beers are, largely because, and if I'm wrong on this, please, Germans, don't take offense. The Weihenstephaner Brewery has a long, like, ridiculously long history, possibly stemming back to, like, the 600s AD. Officially, they know that they have been brewing beer there for, and this beer specifically, since at least the 1400s. But this Vitus is a Weissenbach, which is a strong wheat beer. And I can go into the history of the Weissenbach and the Bach genre of beers, but that is probably a thing for another time because we're running a little bit behind. So let's go ahead and it is a good story. I like the story of the Bach. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into our mock draft for today. So we're doing 12-team PPR. We are doing one QB, two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, a flex, and five bench spots, no defense, no kickers. We don't know what position we're going to be in, but our goal here is to be explicit with you all about what our strategies are going to be. Now, we both have in mind what we are going to do, but we are not going to tell each other until we are in the draft and drafting. We are going to make it very clear to you all what we're doing, and we're going to try not to do the same thing. So whoever gets the first pick, you usually don't have your strategy on the first pick. Usually it's after the second pick, and at that point, you usually have a good idea what we're doing. So we will try to be explicit with you guys, and there's Indy in the background growling at the door, being upset about how explicit we're going to be about our draft strategies. But Stu, any thoughts before we go, or are you ready to begin?
No, he just wanted you to protect your secrets, because you know that some of our friends listen to this, and they are ready to draft against us tomorrow. So,
oh, bring it on. Bring it on. Woof listen indeed. To that dog. He says bring it on. Woof, woof indeed. Indy, come here. Let's draft. All right. I'm going to go ahead and hit the start draft button. And let's go. So it looks like I got the fifth pick, and Stu, you got the eighth pick.
Okay.
So we're both going to be somewhere in the middle. We got a couple seconds before this thing actually loads in. Stu, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. It didn't immediately take me into the draft. Oh, by the way, we're doing this on Fantasy Pros. We're using their software, so their ADPs will be reflected in the choices. And to lead us off, Ja'Marr Chase went 1-1, followed by Bijan Robinson, Saquon Barkley, and Justin Jefferson to Team 4. That leaves James with a pretty good path forward with CeeDee Lamb or Jahmyr Gibbs, respectively.
Mm-hmm. And those are the only two guys I'm looking at here. I was given this exact same scenario last night, and I went CeeDee Lamb. But I think right now, I also was talking this through with another friend. I think I would go Jahmyr Gibbs here. So I'm going to take that, get a strong running back to start things off, because I do like other wide receivers that I can get later in the draft.
So then, following the Jahmyr Gibbs pick, CeeDee Lamb and Christian McCaffrey went, which is a bummer to me, because I was hoping Christian McCaffrey would fall to me here. We talked a little bit about draft strategies last episode. If you want the full recording, of course, go listen to that. We talked about how running backs are kind of the shift in paradigm this year, that people are focusing a lot on the top running backs, and maybe the wide receivers are going a little bit by the wayside, because in 2024, running backs were king. Right now, I'm staring down the barrel of six running backs, and then the top running backs are Jenty, Achan, and Derrick Henry. So there's a lot of different ways you could go here. If I were going wide receiver, and I probably will at this point, I'm going to go with Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's incredibly consistent. I love Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm going to go ahead and lock that in. So it's going to come all the way back around to me after Sun God, Puka went, Malik Nabers, Derrick Henry, Jenty round out the first round, Nico Collins, Brian Thomas, Drake London, and Achan follow suit. So this is another quandary already. This is a tough one for me. I'm staring down the barrel of a lot of wide receivers, and then the top running backs are people like Chase Brown, Josh Jacobs, and Jonathan Taylor. At this point, if I end up going 0 RB, it's probably gonna get nasty pretty quick. And to be honest, I kind of want to experience that with you guys just to see how it goes. This is probably not something I would do on the day of, but mocks are there for testing out the boundaries and making yourself a little bit uncomfortable in the search of things that are going to work for you.
He's trying to defend his takes from his friends right now.
That's true. I'm hiding strategies. At this point, I would reach for Bucky Irving. I'm just kidding. I'm going to go ahead and take A.J. Brown, who honestly in the middle part of the second round is perfectly fine to take. He's going to be the best of the wide receivers that I have available. And I'm going to send it over to you, James, after Josh Jacobs and Chase Brown both go.
Okay. If you're doing something crazy, I'm going to do something a little bit crazy, but not that crazy. Something I've actually been thinking about a lot. I'm going to see if I can't go triple running back. So I took Jahmyr Gibbs to start. I'm seeing a lot more receivers went in that first round and a half than I kind of expected, which means to me that there's a lot of good running back value available. So looking at running backs that are there, Bucky Irving, Jonathan Taylor, Kyren Williams, I'm going to go ahead and scoop up Bucky Irving and see where that takes me immediately after. JSN, Josh Allen, Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, T. Higgins, Lamar Jackson, and then went Kyren and Breece Hall. So Jonathan Taylor made it all the way back around to me, and that is very interesting to me. There's also Alvin Kamara and James Cook down there. Also a little O'Marian Hampton, which I've been very curious about. But I think I'm going to take the safe pick. I'm going to take JT, Jonathan Taylor, and throw it on back to Dr.
Yes,
Stu.
So after JT, I mean, your team already looks incredible to me. The aforementioned O'Marian Hampton, as well as his Charger teammate Ladd McConkey, go. And that puts me in a fun position. It's a good time to be me. Every single pick has made me a little bit nervous, because if I'm going true zero running back, I'm looking down at Garrett Wilson, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, Mike Evans at the top of the pile. There's George Kittle if I wanted to do something like that, which wouldn't be the worst idea. But what I think I'm going to do is secure my flex as a wide receiver. And I'm not super high on Wilson or Tyreek Hill at this very moment. Garrett Wilson dependent on Fields throwing to him and Tyreek Hill just being a little bit old. Davante Adams, second fiddle in an offense with Puka Nacua. I'm going to go ahead and take a number one in his offense, Mike Evans, the never-aging Mike Evans. So, spinning around the 3-4 turn, we see Tyreek Hill, James Cook, Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow, AK, Alvin Kamara, Davante Adams, Garrett Wilson, and George Kittle go. So, top of the heap right now, something that I'm kind of surprised has fallen to me here in the late fourth round, especially since Joe Burrow has already gone. Jalen Hurts is sitting here very tantalizingly. I'm going to go ahead and secure him and send it back to James as he picks something other than a running back.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Well, I guess we are trying to make this logical for for our guests here today. So I have taken the hero RB strategy, taken the double hero RB strategy, and made it more like less of like heroes and more of like a Justice League type situation. I got three of them. So I got to start, you know, getting my team a little bit more diverse. So I got to look at a wide receiver. There's no tight ends left that I'm going to take a stab at. Brock Bowers, Trey McBride got taken both at the last two picks of the second round, and then George Kittle got taken right before Stu picked. So I got to get a wide receiver who's going to have high volume, who I think is going to be able to carry my team. And unfortunately, I've kind of eliminated myself from getting anything too high volume by taking that Jonathan Taylor pick. Not that I don't think that this won't be able to work out as two running backs and a flex. But my options here are going to be DJ Moore, Cortland Sutton, DK Metcalf, Devonta Smith, Tet McMillan, and Xavier Worthy. I do like Xavier Worthy in this position, but I also think I can get him in the next round. So I'm going to get somebody who I think has a nice, safe floor and will get a lot of attention, and I think that's Cortland Sutton.
Okay.
So let's see if I was right about Xavier Worthy making it around, and I was. In fact, there's some probably even more attractive picks here. It was TJ Hockenson immediately after me, Kenneth Walker, DK, James Conner, Chuba, Rashee Rice in the fifth.
Yeah, I don't think it's not fully updated. I mean, this was just news just a couple days ago. So there are a couple questionable things, and that's going to be the case for any, you know, computer simulation software. Like Breece Hall went in the third. Let's be honest here; he's not going to go there.
That's not happening. DJ Moore and Zay Flowers were those other two. So I'm looking really at Devonta Smith or Xavier Worthy. I could look at Tet McMillan, but I'm not going to trust a rookie right here with me needing something stable, which, I mean, Xavier Worthy and Devonta Smith, I'm not exactly going super stable here. I'm going, well, Devonta Smith, second fiddle to A.J. Brown, clearly. So I think I'm going to take Xavier Worthy here. I think that he's got a pathway to being a PPR darling and to well overreaching the wide receiver two mark and getting into those top 12. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think there's a chance. So let's throw it over to
Steve. I'm getting mad, dude. I swear, I've been snaked one pick before me four times now. I wanted Achan to go, or Christian McCaffrey, I wanted to come to me. Devon Achan, I wanted before I decided on the zero RB thing. After that, I wanted Ladd McConkey over Mike Evans. He went right before me. After that, I wanted George Kittle, who went right before I took Jalen Hurts. Now, I wanted Travion Henderson, and he went 5-7. Anyway. Tet McMillan, Travion Henderson both went as we want to note. And, you know, I'm starting to think about things other than wide receivers and quarterbacks. I took my 1E position, the quarterback, so I'm going to be punting tight ends at this point, which is exactly what I want to do. And now I'm looking at a group of running backs headed by Tony Pollard. We got DeAndre Swift, RJ Harvey, David Montgomery, Aaron Jones, and Isaiah Pacheco. So I think this guy has been honestly a little overlooked, and I'm going to take him here because he feels like a very stable floor. Even if he's not in a very good offense, his running back stable mate is already on the shelf with a high ankle sprain. So I'm going to go ahead and lock in Tony Pollard. He's going to get a great amount of workload. He still is a reasonably efficient runner, and he's got a bit of stability that I'm looking for. So we're sending it around the 5-6 turn. Jameson Williams, Aaron Jones, Sam Laporta, Calvin Ridley, Devonta Smith, David Montgomery, Evan Ingram, and Bo Nix all go. And this leaves me actually with a better couple of choices than I really thought I was going to get. I hate leaving George Pickens on the stack, but I'm not going to go ahead and fill my bench when I still need an RB2. So I thought that RJ Harvey would go, and I'd be stuck with someone like Isaiah Pacheco. But RJ Harvey fell, DeAndre Swift fell too, but I like Harvey more than Swift in the offense he's in, and he offers a little bit of upside that I was looking for when I lost out on Travion Henderson. So I'm going to go ahead and secure my running back stable at Tony Pollard and RJ Harvey here in the fifth and sixth rounds. James, pushing it back to you there at 608.
Okay, so the last two picks that went immediately after Stu threw a wrench in my strategy a little bit. So it was Mahomes and Mayfield, two quarterbacks, and probably the last two quarterbacks of that tier. So being kind of explicit about my strategy here, I've got my two running backs, my two receivers, and my flex. I need a tight end, I need a quarterback, and past that, I need depth. What I would probably be best served to do here is either take a quarterback or take whoever the best player available is, because I'm probably not just taking a tight end to fill that slot, which right now it would be Travis Kelce, and personally I don't believe in Travis Kelce this year. So who that best player available is, I think, is probably George Pickens, but let's go ahead and look at our options as well. We got DeAndre Swift for the Bears, we got Chris Olave for the Saints, it is not Isaiah Pacheco or Travis Hunter. And if I did want to go down and look at a quarterback, I'd be either looking at Kyler Murray or Dak Prescott. I think I can get those guys to push later. They might both go in the next round before me. I got 8 picks before my next round. It could happen. It might happen. I'm willing to punt on quarterbacks as well as tight ends. So I'm going to go ahead and take George Pickens, and I'm now 3-3. I'm balanced now. So Dak Prescott just went, and Kyler Murray just went. So again, I'm out of luck at quarterbacks, which means I'm good to just punt. So right now, it basically takes me to, again, best player available. Is it Chris Olave? I don't know with Spencer Rattler being announced recently as their starting quarterback. I feel really weird about that. Not that I feel a whole lot better about Rome Odunze. I do feel pretty good about Stephon Diggs. I'm taking him as my wide receiver 4, so I'm not going to like expect him to be the guy immediately. I do know that he is probably still capable physically, even though he's north of 30. Drake May needs a top option, and I think there's a good chance that that's Stephon Diggs for relatively little cost. So Diggs has been drafted. Stu, where are we
at? Yeah, I definitely think it's the right call for you to continue punting on quarterbacks in addition to tight ends, because you've only got one other team, that being team number 10. They're the only ones other than you that haven't taken their quarterback at this point. So you're going to get something like Brock Purdy, Justin Fields, or Herbert or Williams, and like one of those guys is probably going to go, but you can wait on that. So at this point, because I went so wide receiver heavy in the beginning part of the draft, it bears building depth at running back first, because like, who am I going to draft here at the wide receiver position that I'm ever really going to start over Amon-Ra St. Brown, AJ Brown, and Mike Evans? Like, people I'm looking at, I mean, there's Pearsall, who people are excited about. Pearsall, there's Jordan Addison after he comes back from suspension. There's Josh Downs a little bit later down there, and Matthew Golden if I wanted to go for a rookie. But none of those are super attractive for me. There's less of an opportunity for them to get into my lineup, so why am I building depth at a position I'm already strong with? Let's build depth at positions that I'm not quite as strong with. So I'm looking at running back again. I suppose I could go tight end, and there's merit to that. And now that I'm kind of just talking out loud, I'm starting to think about it a little bit more, and I don't hate it, but if I throw off running backs again, I'm going to end up with, you know, my bench targets being someone like a little bit further down, like maybe Caleb Johnson falls to me in the 8th round. Maybe I've got Etienne Jr., Charbonnet, Jordan Mason, Javonte Williams, people like that. None of them are like super exciting, but I mean, if I selected a running back now, I'm getting someone like Tyrone Tracy or Jaylen Warren, and both of those guys are also not super exciting. Three teams between me and my next selection already have their tight ends, so I got two picks that run the risk of taking a tight end, and I'll get the scraps of whoever's left afterwards. I want to go ahead and secure a guy in Caleb Johnson. Maybe he falls to me, maybe he doesn't, but I don't really want to take that chance right now when there's opportunity to be had in that Pittsburgh backfield. So after I picked Caleb Johnson, Tyrone Tracy, Drake May ends up going. So there's Team 10 getting his quarterback for you, James. Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp, Jacoby Myers, Scadaboo, Bill, and Jaylen Warren all go. So every single one of those tight end targets fell to me, and that's pretty attractive. I'm going to go ahead and take the one that I like the best out of Kelsey, Andrews, and Njoku, which is actually, I don't know, maybe it's a surprise to people, is Njoku. So send it over to James after Juwan Jennings and Deebo Samuel both go.
All right. I'm kind of in the same realm as Stu here, that this is a nice spot to start thinking about the things I've been punting on. I see in the tight end position, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, or I could probably wait another round and get Tyler Warren. Although I will say this about drafts I've been in over the past week. Probably the single guy who has been overdrafted based on his position is Tyler Warren. I've seen him going very early. I saw him hit in like the 5th and the 6th in live league drafts, not even mock drafts, just real drafts. And I think the reason for this being is people thinking he's Brock Bowers. Last year, you got Brock Bowers in like the 11th or 12th, and you got the tight end one, and that felt incredible. I want to kind of remind people that doesn't happen often. It very rarely happens at all. So If you are one of those people trying to overdraft on a rookie tight end because you are getting out in front of a trend, you're probably not. Now, does that mean I don't think Tyler Warren is a good value late in drafts? No, I think he's a very good value late in drafts, but probably 9, 10 in that range. I'm not thinking 5, 6. So if you're one of those people, okay, good on you, but not my thing. But anyway, that was a lot of stalling to say I think I will be I think I will be taking a tight end because one other team needs a tight end, and I think even though I just said I don't like Travis Kelce, he can afford a $5 million ring for Taylor Swift. So, you know, he's got a little bit of money that he can put into being a tight end for me. And the alternative would be Brock Purdy, Justin Fields, Justin Herbert, who I can probably wait over another round, maybe two rounds to get. So, Travis Kelce, welcome to the squad. And past that, we had Eckler, Addison, Tyjae Spears, Travis Etienne, Joe Mixon, Ricky Pearsall, Mark Andrews, as I predicted, there's that other tight end, and J.K. Dobbins. So, for this, the only position I have of need is quarterback. I'm not taking a quarterback in this round for the reasons I explained in the last round. So, I am looking for someone who fits the mold of a late-ish round dart throw. And Stu and I talked about in this last episode about what the profile of what a guy like this is. We are either looking at someone with a clear path to volume, which would be, you know, a handcuff, or someone in a split backfield that could very quickly become unsplit, or we're looking for a high ceiling rookie. So right now in this range, most of the guys I'm looking at are handcuffs. Zach Charbonnet, handcuff to Kenneth Walker. Javonte Williams, not a handcuff, but also probably in a split backfield with Jaden Blue. He's going to be the lead guy, at least to start, but a lot of people are predicting that to not last. Jordan Mason, handcuffed Aaron Jones. I like Javonte Williams here. Get me a little bit of production early and see if I can do something with him before Jaden Blue takes off.
I was actually looking at Javonte for myself just because I have two rookies on my squad right now. He gives me stability in the early parts of the season. But c'est la vie, I missed out on that. Next up goes the aforementioned Tyler Warren, as well as another rookie tight end, Colston Loveland. So everybody's got full lineups at this point, and we're just looking for bench targets. I guess not everybody has a full lineup. You don't have your quarterback at this point. So yes, at this point, bench targets, I'm looking for best available. I don't really care about wide receivers. I don't really care about running backs. I'm not going to take another quarterback or a tight end. I have good enough value in Jalen Hurts and David Njoku at this point. So running backs or wide receivers. You know, James passed up on Zach Charbonnet. That's pretty attractive. Later on down, we have Jordan Mason, who is also attractive in his own way, but perhaps not as attractive as Charbonnet. Maybe less of a clear path to, you know, workhorse workload. As far as wide receivers, Downs is a good option right here. Matthew Golden is still on the pile, and nothing else really beyond that, except for maybe Keon Coleman interests me in the slightest. So who do I like the best? Who am I going to secure? I'm probably going to go ahead and just take Charbonnet, see if maybe Golden comes back to me next round. So let's go ahead and lock in Charbonnet and watch how the rest of the ninth round goes. Judkins, the unsigned wonder, goes. Oh my gosh, so many running backs go. Brian Robinson ends up going. Trey Benson, tight end, and Jake Ferguson, and then four straight running backs: Bigsby, Mason, Najee Harris, and Jaden Blue. So yes, Matthew Golden ended up falling to me. I'm going to go ahead and take my third rookie and secure Matthew Golden, sending it over to James after Jerome Ford and Ramondre Stevenson go.
Okay. So, as Stu said, we are now firmly in the get depth piece. And I'm going to tell you, I think I literally might wait to take a quarterback until the very last round. I see Brock Purdy. He could be a QB12. Justin Fields could be a QB12. Herbert, Williams. I think unless I see teams starting to take backup quarterbacks, I think I'm literally going to wait until the last round, which in the last episode I warned against doing something like this, but I'm going to do that. So another guy who I think has a path towards relevance is Josh Downs. So he is probably going to be the top receiver in Indianapolis in an offense which we expect to be anemic, but there is a chance that he gets peppered with targets anyway. The Colts are going to be down a lot. They're going to be throwing a lot. They're not going to be throwing with very good receivers, but Daniel Jones is used to throwing a lot and not being good at it, and look what he did with Malik Nabers last year. So Josh Downs, welcome to the squad. And going through the 10-11 flip, mostly running backs. We got Nick Chubb, Rashad White, Braylon Allen, Bishal Tuten, Khalil Shakir, Ray Davis, Tyler Algier, and Michael Pittman. So right here, this might actually be the moment I take a quarterback because I don't want to risk another run of backups and leaving me with a guy like Jordan Love. So I'm going to go ahead and slide into the DMs of Caleb Williams, homer pick for Chicago. Welcome to the squad.
You just like say Jordan Love with such disgust in your voice and then took Caleb Williams unironically as your QB1? Sorry, I flame you a lot. Caleb Williams could be good. He could be good. All right.
With offensive genius Ben Johnson.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What's Jordan Love have? Matt LaFleur?
I'm not even going to get into the with you right now. Okay. So we saw a huge run of running backs in the 10th. We were the only ones that didn't take a running back in the 10th round out of all 12 teams. So that coupled with four already going in the 11th leaves that pretty bare, which means I'm probably just going to keep zagging while they zig and go ahead and take another wide receiver. People at the top of the list are Jaden Reed, Darnell Mooney, Keon Coleman, Christian Kirk, Rashid Shaheed, even Brandon Ayuk is there. We could go way down and just kind of pick whoever we want. We've got Keenan Allen is still on there. The guys in Carolina are still there. Leggett and Coker, if we wanted to do something like that, like we kind of talked about last episode. I'm going to go ahead and lock in Keon Coleman just for the fact that I really do think a lot of his down production in his rookie season in Buffalo was injury-related and getting used to the NFL-related kind of bank on the second-year wideout breakthrough. And especially when you've got an MVP throwing to you, I think that's a reasonable selection there. So after Keon Coleman, a couple more wide receivers, Jaden Reed, Marquise Brown, and Christian Kirk go. The only running back that went was Ollie Gordon, who's the direct backup to Devon Achane now that Jalen Wright is out. That's a bummer because he was the one that I was looking at to come back to me. After that, a couple of backup tight ends go. Tucker Kraft, Brenton Strange, Jonnu Smith, and then Brock Purdy went. So, James, you're probably pretty correct in taking your quarterback of choice there in the 11th. So, my last selection, do I want to go wide receiver again? I mean, not really. I have a couple upside guys to pair with my trio of set and forget wide receivers. So I'm going to try to take the best available handcuff. Maybe not a guy that has direct path to relevance right away, but somebody who could very well vault into the RB2 or even RB1 situation. And this is a name that we haven't talked about very much, James, but I'm going to go ahead and take Will Shipley. He's a young guy. He's a direct backup to Saquon Barkley on a Super Bowl caliber team. If Saquon Barkley is slowing down or gets injured, I think Will Shipley's going to be a decent shot. So stick him on the end of my bench. I don't really care. It's the end of drafts. Go ahead and take, you know, what you think is best, and we'll see how the season goes. So I'm all finished. Dalton Kincaid goes. Roshan Johnson goes. James, this is your last mock draft selection on air before the 2025 season. Who's it going to be?
So before I make this pick, I want to thank Indy the Dog for making a return to the basement to rejoin the podcast. You've likely heard him squeaking and running around, squeaking a toy octopus. I also want to thank you, Stu, for doing this with me over this summer and helping us both get better at fantasy football and helping everybody involved here get a little bit better. And I want to, with my final pick, dedicate this one to you, Stu. I am going to be taking Kyle Pitts.
Oh, my God. I mean, ending not with a bang, but with a whimper.
I should give an actual answer here. Not that I would actually take Kyle Pitts here, but I would at least consider it. I mean, he's kind of become such a meme that his actual value is being undersold. So I do think there's a very logical reason to take Kyle Pitts there as, like, what, the tight end 16. I think there's great value in that. But if I was taking that pick specifically a little bit seriously, might be looking at a guy like Luther Burden, rookie in Chicago. I just got Caleb Williams as my guy. So there is a good chance that he bursts onto the scene alongside DJ Moore and Rome Odunze. I think he could have a path towards relevance. But let's see what Fantasy Pros thought of our drafts. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked it gave me an A minus.
It gave me a B, 83 out of 100. I'm right in the middle of the pack.
All right, so it looked like it liked my team third. It liked Stu's team sixth. Mm-hmm. Everybody listening, tell us what you think of our drafts on the socials. Tell us what your best drafts were. And, guys, we're in it. It's draft season. Stu, how you feeling?
You know, I mean, I went with a strategy that I'm probably not going to employ in real drafts very frequently. But, again, it's good to you know, hash these things out. I actually, looking back over, I don't hate it. I mean, I stacked A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. That's pretty cool. A couple of running backs that I think will be trustworthy over the course of the season. Yeah, I kind of am bummed that I missed out on Javonte, which is a weird, gross taste in my mouth to say something like that. But one of Caleb Johnson or R.J. Harvey is going to be relevant in as an RB2 top 24 back by season's end. And that, I think, is a pretty safe bet. So I'm happy with it. Cool with it. I'm ready to go into the real season, probably take a more balanced approach, but stay flexible, stay loose, you know, just enjoy draft season. I think it's the best time of the year. I mean, no matter what happens, you've drafted a championship team. Like, everyone who drafts just drafted a championship team. We just have yet to be proven wrong. So
that's true.
But yeah, it was fun.
Potential is limitless. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got the guys that you wanted, right? Of course, you're correct. You're the smartest guy out there. Or gal. Guy
you're the or person gal who picked him.
Yeah, absolutely. But
yeah,
it's kind of weird. We've already done last call at the beginning. So I'll just push it to you, James. Good luck out there, everybody. See you on the other side. Be safe. Don't drink too much.
Yeah. My assessment of my team is very similar to Stu's. This is probably not a strategy that I will be frequently using this draft season. Three running backs in a row is bold, and I'm not going to say I like my team that much. Fantasy Pros certainly thinks I should, but I don't. But I do plan on liking my other teams that I draft this weekend a lot more, and I hope you all love the teams you draft. I hope that we've been able to help you all get a little bit better of an idea what your drafts are going to look like, and a better grip on who the guys you might draft are. So, guys, this is our last podcast before the biggest fantasy football weekend of the year. Thanks for coming on this ride with us. We really appreciate it. We're as excited as you are. And for all of us here at Fantasy Foot Beer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, for Indy the Dog, I'm James Kemp. Good night.